the yoke. You know, as we study deeper into God's Word, we've been told down through the years, you put on the yoke of God. And it seems like that sometimes in our lives, we put that yoke on, and boy, everything just seems to fall apart sometimes. The traces get all tangled, and things are not pulling right. So we always need to take a real in-depth look at the Word of God, because in its completeness is peace of mind. In its completeness is rest. It makes this world work for you instead of you working for the world. And that's important. That's the only way you can have peace of mind, is to be wiser than the ways of the world, whereby the world works for you. That's the way God intended it. We're not of this world. We don't have to cater to this world. We can work within the realm of this world and still beat it. Come out on top. Why? Because we have the Word of God. That's our plan, our instructions. It tells us exactly how to do it. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to go to a very simple verse, but sometimes if you're not careful in simplicity and in having heard things for so many years, you fail to see the beauty that is before you. Matthew chapter 11, and I'm going to begin reading, if I may, along about verse 25. The Lord has been standing before them. No one recognizes him. All the beauty and the wonders that he brought with him to pay the price for us, whereby we could have peace of mind, and yet it would seem that the wise in the ways of the world could not observe. Okay, verse 25, and it reads, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes." Now, within that, I want you to note, not only of earth, but also of heaven. You have access to the knowledge and wisdom from heaven to earth if you plug into it. All right? 26, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Our Father thought that was really great, that was fair. That for those that really wanted to be sharp in the ways of the world, he simply hid the deeper truths from them. The truths whereby we would use them, with which we would use to defeat the world itself. That is to say, live good within it. To be able to handle it, to be can-do type people. Verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. In other words, you've got to go through Christ or you don't know the Father. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Has he revealed him to you? I'm talking about in his word, his power, his control, and the strength that he can give you when you reach out and take it. It's awesome. I mean, really awesome. The Word of God and his power. And he gave it to us. It was fair. It was right. For those that would love the Father through the Son, to take hold of that. 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now let that soak in real good. What is rest? Well, it's Sabbath, true, but it means peace of mind as well. Do you have peace of mind as you should? 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How did that word learn slip in there? What's he trying to tell us? Put on a yoke to go to work and yet learn? And learn of me, for I am meek, that means I'm gentle, and lowly, that means in heart, in mind. I will come down where you are in mind, whereby we can communicate and you will totally understand what I'm telling you. And ye shall find rest unto your souls. To your flesh? Uh-uh. To your souls, whereby you're in control. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now there is a great deal to that than is more than is normally taught. What is the word yoke? We think of a yoke of oxen. But that's not what this word is that's used here. It's zugos. Zygos. Or zugos in the Greek. And it means a balance. This is the yoke of the scales. The Greek word for a yoke of oxen, as it is used in a place in the New Testament where a young man said, I would go with you, but I just bought some new oxen and I got to go try them. Five yokes, I think it was. That word yoke in the Greek is zygos. Different word. So what was he saying? Zygos means to join. This is what the word yoke means here. To join, figuratively, to join together and follow laws and commandments. But what does it mean literally? That's what's important in this case. Literally, it means the balance or yoke of scales. In other words, you've got to balance, you've got to come to Jesus Christ's balance, his balance of things. He just mentioned heaven and earth. When he would pray, in telling us how to pray, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, he would say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's a balance. In other words, this same word is utilized there, though in the Greek you would have to follow it a little bit. But it's there. It's a balance. That balance is common sense. But that's why you put on the balance and you learn. Learn from what? The Word of God. And it had better always balance, because, you know, you can carry a pretty heavy load if it's balanced. But let it get one-sided. You know, you've seen little kids carry a 5-gallon of slop or something like that, you know, back on the farm, and they'd do her, you know. But that was terrible. Instead of having 2.5 gallons, you know, one in each hand. Been so much easier. Well, so it is for you in following the Lord if you keep your equilibrium, if you keep the balance and what gives you that balance, but understanding the Word of God. He didn't say the load's going away. He said, I'm going to show you how to carry it. You're in the world. You have a purpose here, and you got to learn to deal with it. Don't let it get you down. Oh, it's just a terrible life out here. Well, get in the Word. Grow up. Mature. And understand the balance. That's what Christ is saying to you here. Again, I repeat, the word for yoke, though it is the prime of zygos, that's not the word that's used here. It's the balance of the scales. You must balance things. You must have a balanced way of reasoning. And from that comes power. And you have to claim it. You have to take a hold of it. You have to use it. Or what good does it do you to have something? You could buy a brand new car, if we're going to go to material things here for a moment. put it in the garage and hide the keys and never use it, what good would it do you to have a new car if you never got it out and got the dust, smoked it out a little bit, you know? Wouldn't do you any good at all. Well, what good is the Word of God if you're not going to practice it, put it to work? That is to say, use the balance that He gives you. Won't help you one iota. You can know God's Word from one end to the other. And if you just sit there and never practice it or claim it or utilize the power and the authority that He gives you within that, you're going nowhere. Zip. It takes a balance. You don't overuse it, because that would be unbalanced. You simply balance what He gives you. Open your books to the 15th chapter of Acts for me. I keep losing my notes down there, and I guess I don't need them anyway. I'll just... Acts chapter 15. Paul and Barnabas have gone to Jerusalem, and they're not accepting the fact there too well that the Gentiles now have the privilege of serving God through the Son. So let's pick it up, if we may, at verse 4. Paul and Barnabas on their way. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. And it was a lot. God got old Paul lined out in a good way. He struck him down and He picked him up. And He balanced things for him in his mind and in his heart. Verse 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Don't want those Gentiles in here unless they're circumcised. Verse 6. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. 7. And when they had been much disputing, they were arguing about it, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. And God does that, all right? God does make choice among us. That the Gentiles by my mouth shall hear the word of the gospel and believe. And of course, Peter has reference to Cornelius, all right? 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, that's your minds, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as He did unto us. What was that? Well, on Pentecost Day, they spoke in a tongue that wherever it was heard, it was understood clearly in the dialect of the language in the county in which you were born. If it was down south, it was you all hear me. All right? And so forth. He let the Gentiles speak with that same tongue, meaning the kings and queens of the election, their people, will be delivered up as well. Understand, that's what the Holy Spirit is saying. Verse 9, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. This has to do with the spiritual. It's not natural to change the nature of people. It didn't change their nature, but it changed the spirit, all right? Verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke, same word again, a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? In other words, let's be honest, Peter's saying, we couldn't find salvation if we had to live by those rules. Why are you trying to place it on them? And then the next verse to complete. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. That's the only way. Why? When He was on the cross, He paid a price. And He was well balanced on that cross. He paid a price Himself for you, that your soul was already healed once you would repent and would find and step into that salvation. I don't care how many of the laws you'd broken. He was able. He balanced it for you. You were clear and level. And He did that for you. And that's the only way we can do it, is through Him. I want you at this time to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 40. We'll go back to the Old Testament. I will be quoting the Septuagint in a place or two so that we can keep this in one language, and as much as the Septuagint was the Greek portion of was a Greek Old Testament, the same word being used again. So that you know where we're at here, this is the chapter, Isaiah 40, where Elijah was foretold of that voice crying from the wilderness would announce the coming of the Lord. So the reason I want you to know that is because I want you to know we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God is going to be talking with you about here, His coming. The one cried in the wilderness that message. Pick it up in verse 4. I'm sorry, let's see. Let's pick it up in verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, greet thee, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. This at this Advent, first Advent, it's not going to be any different at the second Advent, my friend. So you're reading tomorrow's prophecy. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Who's this talking about? Again, Christ. Most of you that have a standard King James, you'll have a big old star there that lets you know it's talking about the Anointed One, Messiah. All right? 11. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm and carry them in His bosom, and shall gently, that's the word meek we were using earlier, lead those that are with young. He's very gentle with those that need special attention. He knows. He knows when you need special attention. What did it tell us back in the New Testament? God gave Christ all power. All power to lead you with, to direct you through this Word and through the Holy Spirit at an even balance. Everything is balanced with God. It's natural. Verse 12. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Same word in the Septuagint. Zugasa. The balance of the scale. I mean, He put it just right. Put it the way He wanted it. This world. So you shouldn't be uncomfortable in it if you have the knowledge. If you have the truth. Because it's His promise, and He is all-powerful. He spoke, and nothing became everything. These things transpired. 13, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? Boy, I sure didn't. I don't think any of you did. I think He was quite able on His own to do exactly what He wanted. He is our Father. He didn't need any help. But he's offering you help and understanding. Put on the yoke and learn. 14. With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? That's why you want to follow him. He didn't need any instructions. He made the pattern and told us how to use it, instructed us how to be happy, how to get along. And sometimes people will just turn their back like a stubborn mule and back up on the word and do exactly what he says not to do. Well, what can you expect? Trouble. All right? That's what you're going to get if you back up on him. 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket. In other words, you get a great big old bucket. Get that 5 gallon I was talking about a while ago. Put one drop of water in it. That's what this world amounts to God, as far as control or its importance. He can certainly handle that drop. All right? That's why nations move as they're supposed to align with prophecy. Your Father is in control and are counted as the dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And what are you worried about? Well, I just have this payment I'm worried about. Well, work harder. I'll get your payment made so quick, you know, that you'll never know what happened with it. Save a little more so you don't get in that fix like he told you to. Pull out of usury the way he told you to, and you wouldn't have that problem in the first place. If you'd listen to your Father and balance things, and sometimes a checkbook, and you'd need 4 sets of these, you know, if you don't know the Word of God to keep those things still, and, you know. And things happen, but don't worry. Get back to it. Follow his advice. This world, if he controls the world, as stated here, and he does, you think your little troubles are too much for him? Boy, how conceited could you be to think that your problems were that big? Well, I'm just loaded down. No, you're not. You just think you are, and if you believe it, you probably are. Excuse me. If you exercise your mind in the Word of God, little things will take care of themselves when you exercise the balance using common sense of God's Word. In other words, with common sense, you don't go into debt to a point that you can't get out. You took the pencil and you ciphered naught and naught, double naught, all right? And if I do this, I got naught, naught. I mean, it doesn't take somebody too sharp to, you know, really use a pencil. So do it his way. Now, things happen many times that, we've been steadily employed and, yeah, we're making this and, yeah, we can afford to go ahead and go in for that and this and that. And then, bam, you know, the world lets you down. It fires you. All right, or you're out there by yourself and say, I really can't afford that and that and that now. Okay. Things do happen, but you can still balance it. God promised it. You can handle it. It's going to work out. Trust him. Do it his way. He balanced every mountain. He balanced the very dust that he formed Adam from. Weighed it, I mean. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. 16, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. In other words, you could take all the animals in this world and cut down every tree and build a fire of sacrifice, and it wouldn't make God happy. Why? He had already prepared the sacrifice, and it was himself in Christ. Didn't need a fire. Needed a tree for the cross. But that was the sacrifice. He's telling you, I've taken care of these things. I want you to understand that. He says, I've already taken care of it. All you have to do is believe. Balance. 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. That word vanity in the Hebrew is tuhul, which is how this earth became after Satan rebelled. I mean, void, utterly. I mean, that's the way he worries about it that much. Okay? And we're talking about the things of the nations and the world. He's not too concerned with it. A lot of our people seem to be terribly concerned. It's important that you keep abreast and do what you must do. But God's in control. It's going to happen the way he has stated. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare with him? I mean, I don't know anybody that could speak and cause another constellation or this many stars to come into being. Satan may claim he can, but he can't. There is no comparison. 19, this is what man will do to you, though. Listen to it. The workman melteth a golden image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver chains. Man's got to have something to worship he can see. He just can't believe God's out there watching him, holding his hand, carrying him through troubles when he asks. Just got to make something I can see. He that is so impoverished, too poor to have gold or silver, that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. Get some old hard oak out here. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. In other words, something he can see and worship. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we let our houses become these objects. Just got to do everything and do this and do that. And the roof is leaking and the plumbing is plumbed. And it's squirting out where it shouldn't squirt out. And just trouble, trouble, trouble. Got to spend all weekend here repairing the pain. You got pain, all right, friend. I hope that you realize you're a child of God and a house is not as important as you are. God will help you get it back together, but you got to be able to think balanced for it to work. You got to get your life balanced. That's what the yoke is you put on. Balance. That's wisdom, control, management, discipline in your life, all right? 21, have you not known, have you not heard, hath it not been told you from the beginning? How have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? I know some of you understand from the foundations of the earth because you know about the Kadabul, the overthrow of Satan, the first earth age. What happened there? If you know what happened there, this shouldn't be too big of a step for you. You should be a pretty good stepper. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out of the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. Do you know what the circle is? When Paul would say, when Christ would ask him, Paul, why do you kick against the prick? It's the prick of the compass, the center. Right here. That's the circle. Everything built is built around God. He is the center point of the compass. Everything must go to him to survive. That's the way it is. He sits on that circle. Now, if he sits on this circle right here, he can pretty well do what he wants to here, can't he? Look, you just kind of twist it that way, and it balances that way, and balances this way. He's got a lot of control there, doesn't he? You think he can't handle your life? Come on. You think he doesn't know you? He's sitting in the circle of the balance, the yoke that you placed on yourself, and he doesn't know you? He controls the nations, and you think you have to worry? Come on. 23. That bringeth the princes to nothing, he maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. He takes control and balances when he wishes. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock, their little worship thing they worship, might be a house, a car, or it might even be your profession, shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. You start leaning on something other than God, and I promise you, God will destroy it. You want me to say that again? You start putting your faith and your worship, and that means that you're paying more attention to it than you are God, into a business or something else and let it try to take God's place, he will destroy it for you. Why? To get you out of your misery so you can get your attention back to God. He will do it. No questions asked, friend. That's an absolute. 25. To whom then will ye liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. There's no comparison. He's your father. You should be proud of him. Your father can do anything. He hits a home run every time. He gets a strike every time he bowls. No halfway. Your father is the best. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. That bringeth out their host by number. That's talking about the stars. He calleth them all by names by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Listen to me. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, you are likened and called stars, the stars of God. In the book of Job, chapter 38, you're called the stars of God, the sons of God. He knows your name. He knows you. Every one of you, every individual that ever has been, he knows you personally. You may not know him personally, but what kind of God would we have if he didn't know his own children? Good, bad, ugly, and in between, right? He does. He knows. And how he loves them. All the power, the might, the authority that our Father has given through the Son when we take on his balance and utilize common sense in our lives and learn how to manage, learn how to discipline yourselves. Learn how to be successful. Learn how to beat the world at its own game. And I mean that in a pleasant sense. Hey, they enjoy it. Rip it to them. You know? No, I won't go into that. The big wicked stock market has ruined many a person. It has. Not everybody it hasn't. All right? When you know the ways of the world... Zip. We'll stop that right there. Okay? You can get ahead of the world. There's no giants out there anymore. We have the authority. We have control because our Father's in control. And don't ever think he does not know your name. Well, I would confess to him, but I don't want him to know about that. He already knows, friend. It's too late. Boom, just like that, okay? He knows. That's why repentance is such a wonderful thing. But he does know, and I lost my place. Somebody say the verse. Oh, I got it. I got it, I think. Okay, 26. No, I got that, didn't I? 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob? That's the, when Jacob is used, that's the natural seed of our people. All right? It means all of you. And speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid. Why do you say my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God? God isn't there. Why would you say that? Got the balance? It divvies up right there on the scale and you're calling me unfair? Then he starts telling you what you've done that might tip it, though, friend. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, faineth not, doesn't get tired, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He never tires. He knows you personally. He knows what your problems are. Get into his word. Let him know you love him and ask for that blessing. Claim it. And work your way out of it. That's what the scales or the balance is. When it's balanced, you can carry a heck of a load. The reason I said a heck of a load, we got a lot of people here from Oklahoma where I grew up, and we know what that means. Okay, so 29. He giveth power to the faint. Well, I sure wish he'd give me some. Well, get balanced. It says right there, I give power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. At times they do. And the young men shall utterly fall. On their own they will. 31. But, here's the condition, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Did he say maybe? Maybe you'll renew and get that account back in order. Maybe, perhaps, if Satan doesn't interfere. That's not the way I read it at all. It says, shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Hey, what kind of a father we have. Wow. It's fantastic. It's wonderful. Is it any wonder that we're blessed so much in this ministry? How could we go wrong with a father like that? Balanced, balanced, balanced. Well, I'd always thought it was just a yoke. Well, I'll tell you what, we got all these pretty things out here. Let's just kind of take life and use a little example. And I'm going to have to explain what I'm about to do to the tape audience as I do it. So what happens to all of us? We're born, but what happens before we're born? Well, there'll be two people get together, and they'll become one in us. What happens when you're born in the flesh? Woo! Flesh is kind of one-sided, you know, when that's all you got. But the offspring of these two, let's reach around here and get this old biggest one, all right? Hey, he's a good old boy. I mean, you've known good old boys. I mean, they wouldn't take anything away from you for all the things in the world. Just as honest as the days are long. I mean, he's a genuine good old boy. Well, that balance. Whew. A big one wouldn't even balance it. But if we take that good old boy, we'll try this one. How many penny weight? Take that good old boy and you come along and you plant the word. You turn him to Christ and he takes on the yoke. And it balances. Does he still have the weight? I dare say here on the circle, the weight's still there. But he's a can-do type person. He knows how to manage. Why? He knows how to balance and don't never forget what's here at the circle. I hope you understand what I mean by the circle. Now, what I have done to the tape audience here is I have taken and placed in one pan two weights, and then a big weight to, say, the big old boy. And, of course, I knew that weight wasn't as heavy as these two. I'll have to admit, I knew it wasn't going to balance. And then I reached around and I got a little bitty one and placed there that I already knew would just make that level up, and it would center on the circle and just balance out nice. Why? Because I planned it beforehand. I knew it would balance. That's what you should do with your life. You have to plan. And then it will balance. The load is there and it carries so much easier. Why? Because the circle carries it for you. But you've still got the responsibility. That I don't want you to let slip away from you, because that gets a lot of people in trouble. You see, you're between God and the weight. That's a responsibility. Don't ever shirk your responsibilities. God doesn't like that. Now, we, and to the tape audience, we've got a double set of scales here. They're pretty fancy. For the old boy, as I said earlier, that had the little poke, you know, little bitty pans up here, you know, to weigh just dust. Let's say this old boy's cruising along. He's got everything balanced, and we're going to let this one here be false teaching. Because up here is your mind over the flesh. No boy comes along and he gives you a religion and that's just false and zing. Your upper self or your inner self goes out of balance. Okay? Now, an old boy comes along again and he's pretty well got the truth. All right? Pretty well got the truth. And you're one that doesn't give over to deception. So you listen to him. Understand, a man gave you the false truth. I'm sorry, a lie, deception. And another comes along and gets you headed back. But it didn't balance. Just didn't balance. And then we got a little two-penny weight here. I mean, little bitty thing. Just a two-penny weight. All right? It's the Word of God. It's the truth. Never listen to that man or this man without checking him out in that Word of God. And when you apply the Word of God, it balances. So, now how did I know that was going to do that? I ciphered it, all right? I first put a, and I'm doing this for the tape audience, I first put a five-penny weight in this pan. And then, with all that talking about the good guy, I dropped in a three-penny weight. So it would at least make a showing for this audience. And then I pulled out a two-penny weight and dropped in there. Now, how did I know that that would balance? Because three and two is five. Now, you get your bookwork out, my friends, of your life. And you cipher. And know it's going to work before you put it in the pan, all right? How do you find that out? By the Word of God. I enjoyed doing that. I really did. That was so effective, I'm even impressed, okay? But you have to balance your life. If you can have that same load. I could put that all on one. It carries pretty good that way, but I could put all that on one side and you'd be so twisted and miserable that you couldn't get by. You couldn't hardly breathe. But when you take on the yoke of Christ and realize the power and the authority that our Father at the circle possesses, and He's got your name and He loves you and you love Him, and you ask His blessings and declare Satan out of your life and concentrate using that discipline, you're going to be all right. You can't miss. Because what did it say? God will take you as though you were a great eagle and let you fly over the trouble spots of this world. I think it's fantastic. But we've got to fly in the ointment here. I want to go over to the book of Revelation. We got something just down the road that you want to be very careful of in closing. We're going to read one of the seals. Revelation chapter 6. We're going to take the third seal. And that's verse 5. Let's see if we can't see a little better picture here. Verse 5 reads in Revelation chapter 6, "And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse." That's war and famine, what it signifies. "And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand." Now that, if you're familiar with Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, you know about these scales already, because it says Satan comes in with some unbalanced scales. They're loaded with deceit. And they're going to be off, and he's going to sell you wheat and grain and flour. And guess who's going to get the raw end of the deal? All right? But then he tells you in that same 8th chapter of Amos after verse 5, when it gets through talking about those unequal scales, unequally yoked. You ever heard that? Same, little different word, same prime. You can't be unequally yoked. It won't work. Right? You can't be yoked with Satan and God. That will take, but why? Because God's at the center, the circle. He won't put up with it. But it says a little bit later in the book, that 8th chapter of Amos, that, hey, the famine is not for bread anyway, it's for hearing the word of God. All right. Now, let's read that next verse in Revelation 6, verse 6. "And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a penny.'" And you've all heard me explain this. A penny was a day's wage at that time. You work all day for a loaf of bread. "And 3 measures of barley for a penny." That's poor man's bread. "And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." What is that guy trying to talk you into that has the false scales, the deceitful scales? Into trading your bread for his bread. You're going to do it. He's got the scales ready to go. But you know already those are loaded scales that he has. These are not. His are. And when you trade your bread of life, which is Christ, for the Antichrist, I'm sorry. I don't care how balanced you were all through your life. You just blew it. Well, how, isn't it wonderful we know that? Yes, because we have the Word of God. And that's why the yoke is so important. The yoke that is the balance of life. The yoke. Many would call it the scales of justice, and I'll go along with that. Because this, my friend, is symbolic of the balance and the scales that Jesus Christ will judge this world with. So it kind of lets you know where you should be. Gives you an advantage. Because it's His yoke that you put on. His balance. And when you follow it, do you think He's going to let you trip? Uh-uh. He'll strengthen you. Alone, we can do nothing. I mean, we're lost. We get frustrated trying to figure out what to do. What should I do? Do it His way. And trust Him. Have faith to know before the fact that your Father is going to make it happen as long as you put out the work. It's just like this ministry. As long, from day one, as long as we have used the bricks that He has given us, He's always furnished the bricks to build this ministry, but we've had to do the work. But then He gives us beautiful truths like this, that we can proceed on and be stronger in Him than ever. It's so wonderful, our Father's Word. Father, we thank You for that yoke. Thank You for balancing life for us and bringing us that rest, that peace of mind, that we can walk knowing we have the victory over the world and Satan, Father. And thank you, Father, for the soon coming of that new world, that rejuvenated world, Father, that we have one King, and that King that we follow daily. The balance, Father, His yoke, place it on our shoulders. Help us to keep it balanced. We ask it in Yahshua Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.